I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. Don't tell the other podcasts. I should go.
So, a little update on a band we're very dear, close friends with. You may have heard of them, Smash Mouth.
Yeah.
Now, the reasonings, of course, are very unfortunate, and I, for one, am not going to necessarily make fun of anybody's health. I guess Smash Mouth now has a new singer? Which I didn't know this at first. Maybe like you're aware of them, but it's a pretty big deal. I'm surprised it didn't make more news. But yeah, it was announced that the new singer of Smash Mouth is Murph.
Murph.
Which before we cut to the theme song, I just have one question to ask. Can we get unblocked, please?
Hi, you're listening to Talking Like a Teen, the podcast where we have a tendency to rush back into our past.
Murph needs a theme song. The branding is terrifying. Looks like it's going semi-viral. I'm not sure how quickly it's going to pick up steam, but I think it's got some legs.
Two of them.
Yes, two legs.
It's funny because it's true. If Murph is not giving off Bagel Bites energy, I don't know what is. Like, that theme song better go hard.
I want there to be a commercial, like, these kids, like, in a backyard, almost like laser tag, but at, like, a cookout kind of vibe. And, you know, they're like, all right, cool, we go to the left, go right. The kids from across the street, they always beat us, but we got a secret weapon. So they're ready about to go off. Kids are like, they're getting tagged. So there's one kid left, he's getting surrounded. Next, you know, who comes in the frame? It's Murph, but instead of it being like this intense music, it's like Michelle Branch's Breathe. And it's like the slow motion. He's got like the Nerf, like that Gatling gun, like the old one he used to have the stand, and he's like, D-d-d-d-d-d-d. If I just breathe. And it's just like the kids getting tagged, and like, you know, then like, you know, neighbor kids win, and like Murph tries to hoist a kid on their shoulders, but it's Murph, so they're not really solid, and they kind of get absorbed. And just as, like, the hand gets sucked in, it cuts into, like, all black, it's Murph or nothing.
The Michelle Branch is a good turn to bevy expectations, because you'd think you'd be expecting, like, Crossfire music.
Yeah, but I feel like if something like Murph were to appear, you have to throw them off. Like, it's all mental. Of course, you'd expect something, like, intense, but if you saw this eldritch horror of Lovecraftian proportions popping up with a giant gun to your family cookout, and you just hear Michelle Branch blasting, you will have no idea what happened during or after. You will need a solid week to recover from that. Praise Murph.
Praise Murph.
Oh my God, if you're still listening, hi, we're Talking Like a Teen.
We have a tendency to talk about Murph.
I am the Spirit Room.
And I am Teenage Dirtbag.
Nice. Oh man. So Ashley had... See, and at first it felt retaliatory only because I subjected her to more Power Rangers content for two episodes straight. But in the end, I was so down for this once I saw what we were talking about.
Yeah.
We actually wanted to do something like this for a very long time, so I'm so glad this list came up when it did. So I honestly should thank you instead of grumbling angrily like I did last episode.
Yeah, that's right. And I still think, I don't know if it's... words. I still think we at some point will probably do our own sort of adult alternative appreciation episode.
Yeah, because dude took out all the good stuff.
Yeah, because they took out all the good shit. Like, there's there's not a Toad the Wet Sprocket song to be found on this list, and that hurts my whole heart.
Crazy Life, Come Down, like, oh my God. Hell, even like, okay, and maybe this is blasphemy because I know you're a huge Beatles fan, but I really did love their cover of Hey Bulldog.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, cool. All right.
So last episode, we started going through the list of the top 50 minivan rock songs as compiled by Billboard.com. So, you know, do with that what you will. So we got to 34, which I don't know about you. I fucking love this song. I love this album. I love this video.
The video of Teenage Dirtbag, and okay, so the whole premise is, here's this guy who's like the dork, is like, I like Iron Maiden, and you know, this is girl who, this guy is like, drives an IROC and brings a gun to school, which, okay, you know, now,
yeah,
no jokes, like, that's like, oof, you could have left that one out, y'all.
Well, and isn't that Jason Biggs in this video?
Jason Biggs is, at this time, like, he's riding high, he's got that American Pie money. And then this was off of Loser was the movie, which was like American Pie, but not.
Yeah, essentially the same thing, just different coat of paint.
What's funny to me, though, about the video was like his love interest is Mina Suvari. And in my head, I'm like, no, you like Michelle. Mina Suvari's with Oz. You're cheating. Like, this is infidelity. What are you? Yo, what are y'all doing?
Get Willow in here.
Right? I'm just like, okay, I get it. Of course, Mina Suvari is also riding high. Yeah. This is around the time when American Beauty had come out. Wasn't she in Pleasantville, or did I make that up?
That's a different blonde lady.
Oh.
I think.
That was Reese Witherspoon. Excuse me.
Yes.
Also huge at this time. Cruel Intentions. Holy shit. Like, yeah. I mean, that's only one of the movies she was in. Mad blonde ladies are like tearing it up in this era. But yeah, that accurate. Was the one thing with the video that just threw me off, was like, whoa, hold up, this is not the couple, this is American Pie infidelity. I don't know, I was trying to work in a pun, I couldn't do it
well. And like, for me, I'm like, these are like real ass actors, like these are real people that I as a, you know, 12-year-old nerd know who they are. Like, that's wild.
But I always thought the pull was kind of funny to me, because a lot of the centers around this Iron Maiden concert, and it's this very sweet, heart on your sleeve song. It's like, oh yeah, of course I'll go with you. And I just imagine Jason Biggs and Mina Suvari throwing up horns and like screaming along to like Number of the Beast. It's kind of amazing.
Oh man, so funny.
I don't know. It's weird that this is minivan rock, considering at the time which this came out, like, this is feeling pensive on a school bus rock.
Well, and for me, like, this is a song that, yeah, if it's a few years later, but like, this is like teenage girls driving in a Camry rock to me, because that's what happened.
I love it. I'm here for it.
I had a friend who started off many a mixed CD around this time with Truffles by Wheatus.
Ooh, that's a good intro track.
Yeah, it's a good vibe. So, like, to me, like, that's always, like, it's hilariously enough, Wheatus will always be, like, one of my, like, teenage dirtbag bands. So, love them. They're great. Good job. Next is Fuel.
I loved this band.
This album's great. So they have Shimmer on here. They didn't put Hemorrhage, which is the obvious answer.
You're right. Hemorrhage was the bigger, I think, crossover song.
Yeah.
But on like alternative rock radio, if it wasn't Shimmer or the Foo Fighters, like it didn't get played. And I say that as a lover of both of those bands, but like Shimmer was, and of course, grade school, 7th, 8th grade, madly in love with. For some reason, this song was like, I was like, oh my God, I know exactly how you feel. I'm like, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
You're just upset that she wasn't the first one to sign a yearbook, and you were just bummed out that she didn't say keep in touch.
That's right. You're just a kid, and life is a nightmare.
Oh my God.
Ha 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 ha
I woke up it was 7 and made it to 11. The next one is perfect.
So, Barrie Kid Lazy is one of those bands that, like, I love them. I love them so much. And the main reason I love them so as much as I do is because my mom does. Like, they're, like, one of my mom's, like, legitimate favorite bands. And it just makes me smile.
And knowing what I know of your mom, that's, like, the perfect band.
It tracks, yeah. She's a little bit of a goober. I really like this song. Like, 1 week is fine, whatever. It's one of those where I've heard it too many times. But, like, Pinch Me is such a good song.
Yeah, this is such a good track. It's, like, it's fun, but also just hella melancholy. But that's just me.
Yeah. It's a very, like, sweet and kind of sad song that also has an underwear joke in it. I think I told this on a previous episode, but we went and saw them. They were touring when Ben Folds 5 reunited.
Nice.
So we saw them. We stayed through, I think we left when they started playing the Big Bang Theory song, honestly.
It's not their fault.
No, it's not their fault.
But my God, miss me with all that.
It's not their fault. Yeah, well, because that song happened before the show happened. Like, that song was just happened to be one of their songs that got used for this show. And I am happy that it put money in their pockets because they're good dudes. They had a Behind the Music episode. And I know one of them has, like, dealt with cancer and different things. And, like, they seem to be, like, legitimately good lads. So excited that they made money from that. But that show sucks, and we're going to move on to something else that sucks. John Mayer.
Yeah, and I don't need to go through all that. Just Google John Mayer, Holly Robinson, Pete, and you'll figure it all out.
Yeah, John Mayer sucks.
And that's a shame, because prior to that, I was a very big fan of John Mayer.
Yeah.
With that said, though, I mean, great guitar player, you know, good talent, and for a time, like, what was the one song, that, like, the really big one?
Is it the Run Through the Halls of the High School one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't think of the name of it right now.
I think it was called The Real World.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Not so much, not the full band version. I feel like it lost something in translation, but the acoustic version of that song I thought was very well done. But, yeah, that was prior to all the other bullshit, And I mean, yes, people have said and done far worse, but it was just such a weird thing that was said on the record. Like, you could have just went our whole lives without knowing any of that.
Yeah.
And also, The Real World should be on this list, not Clarity. But anyway,
agreed.
That's all I got to say. F this dude. Okay.
Oh, man. This next song was a cultural moment. So we're talking about Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. This soundtrack, man. The City of Angels soundtrack. I feel like that movie didn't do that well, but that soundtrack, like, had a stranglehold on, like, pop music for a good, like, 6 or 7 months around its release.
That is an episode, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Let's fucking go.
I just want to talk about Alanis Morissette's Uninvited for, yeah, like, an hour.
Yeah.
But this song, this should be number one.
With a bullet.
Try to go anywhere during this era and not hear the song. I defy you. Like, to find some place, go to a bingo hall, go to, like, a church. They'll find a way to work it into the sermon. Like, it's, they'll change the title. Like, you know, turn the page 200 in your hymnal for A City of Angels. Like, that's not what the song is.
By I, Ron Butterfly.
Wait, this sounds like rock and or roll. So, like, what else could you say? This song was just everything, and it's so good. Now, it also made and broke Goo Goo Dolls' career, because Eileen and, yeah, I, shout out to Latina Nerd, we went hours talking about Goo Goo Dolls, because she's like, you're definitely more into, like, rock era Goo Goo Dolls. I'm like, hell yeah. But once this song came out, and I was like, oh, we're not getting them back at all.
No.
And that album also, like, Dizzy Up the Girl, is so fucking good.
It's really good. I think it came out after this. I really liked Black Balloon.
I think that was a single after that, which is really good too.
It was really good, but it, like, just didn't get that much play.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
I mean, all the singles on that album were killer.
Yeah.
Because it's like Black Balloon, Broadway, Slide. Oh yeah. My God, Slide.
Slide's so good. I think, spoiler alert, I think Slide is farther up this list. This song, like, if you spend 25 minutes in a JCPenney today, June 17th, 2022, you'll probably still hear this song.
Spoiler, I was walking through a JCPenney today and I heard it.
There you go. Can't confirm.
Yep. It's like, on Murph, I swear I heard this.
This next song I love. I don't remember hearing it much on the radio, but I do love it. I love Liz Phair. This album's great. Single's fun. She's so good. Love her.
Agreed. Though I'd like to apologize to former me, who was mad gatekeeping about Liz Phair, because I was very much like a White Chocolate Space Egg, Exile in Guyville Liz Phair. So when this album came out, it felt like a betrayal. And I realized, Adrian, you need to grow up. It doesn't matter. People need to pay their fucking bills. And the song still slaps. So former me, shut up. Enjoy the music, please.
Hell yeah. This next band.
I can't talk about this song without getting like really emotional. This shit is such a fucking good song.
So out of all of the 90s bands to 90s band, I think Fastball is my favorite. I love Fastball so much. Out of My Head is such a good song. It's interesting. This song is like structured really interestingly in that like it has a verse and then it's like a verse and then chorus and then we get that little organ solo and then we get more chorus and then we get another solo and then we get more chorus and that's it. There's no like real like second verse. There's no bridge. It's not structured like a normal average pop song, but it still rules and is good. And I love Fastball. That is all.
The Way was like their really big hit. And it's not a bad song. But like between Out of My Head and like Fire Escape.
Yeah.
They did pop alternative rock so well. Mm-hmm. And like, did it reinvent the wheel in terms of being revolutionary? Maybe not, but it was solid and it was tight and it was so well crafted. And I just hate that other bands who I honestly like just as much, but I feel like coming from sheer musicianship and lyrics is like they should have had a much bigger career. And I'm still really bummed out about that.
Yeah. Tony Scalzo, their lead singer, his voice is amazing. Love, 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 love. So, when I was a wee lass living my wee lass life, I was obsessed with Jewel for a little bit. And it was the Jewel album that everyone had.
Was it Pieces of You?
Yeah, that one. I had the album. I was obsessed with it. I listened to it constantly for a bit. And then I put it away. And I moved on because this is 2001. I was doing pop punk shit around that time. And my brother, bless his soul, I think my mom took him to Best Buy to buy me a present or something. He bought me a CD for Christmas. And he bought me this Jewel CD. And I remember he gave it to me and I probably did not react appropriately. So like apologies to my brother, where I probably didn't seem super excited about it. And then I got around to listening to it and it was really good. And I really liked it. I had listened the fuck out of it for a really long time. So I love this song.
No, but that's really sweet. And it's a really good song, a really good album. And I think this is probably the last Jewel album that I think I actively remember listening to.
Yeah.
The later stuff was cool, but it was definitely a different vibe and I just wasn't really with it. But yet, that's another artist who did so much for music, not even just in that time, but just in general. Like, we'll be talking about this for ages. It's so good. And even every time I still hear the song, I've never heard Standing Still and been like, oh, this again.
Yeah. I did a re-listen of this album during lockdown, and it doesn't hit with me the same way that it did. I remember thinking back in 2001, I was, 14. I remember thinking that Jewel was very, prolific and deep, and it's definitely not as deep as I thought it was, like now as a grown-ass adult. But a lot of the songs are still very fun. I still really like this song. I think it's one of the best off of that album, so I understand why they made it the single.
The earlier albums, I think, were Jewel at her best, and not in a way like as if the other stuff wasn't, but it was definitely that situation, and this happens with a lot of artists, regardless of genre or whatever. You know, sometimes those first handful of albums are like dumping your purse out, but not in like a negative way, but it's really just working through everything. Because once you get to like Foolish Games, Jewel,
yeah,
where you're like, oof, this shit hit a little different. So when you get to like This Way, Jewel.
Yeah, my hands are small. It's just one of those where, like, okay, I get it. You've small hands. And I get that it's a metaphor, but like still.
Look, that song went hard at youth group, all right? Shout out, I don't know if anybody from my youth group still listens, but shout out to y'all. I miss y'all so much. Honestly, looking back, some of the best times of my life at a time which was most tumultuous, but that song had big youth group weekend retreat vibes.
Yeah. The next song is the Ashley Simpson song.
I kind of don't want to talk about Ashley Simpson. Actually, I'm cutting that out. Don't keep that in.
That's totally fine.
I got to give her props. All right, so I got to just say this one thing, and I'm sorry. I know I just said I don't want to talk about this song, but then looking back, something about this song, and I know a lot of what we do on this podcast is like processing a lot of stuff in our youth and adolescence and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how many people, like especially like other black people, fuck so heavily with Ashley Simpson. I feel like for a time, especially from what I've seen like on my feeds, because I think for some reason she came up again in some sort of like thread or some like prompts. I feel like you don't get to, because a lot of Paramore's fan base.
I was just going to say the same thing. She was really marketed as like the proto Hayley Williams there for a little bit.
And not for nothing, it worked because she kind of was.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because I only say this because I'm not, am I a big Ashley Simpson fan? No, not at all. Nah. But I know I can name them by name, mad dudes who have done things deliberately or accidental that should have tanked their careers and it did not. That whole SNL thing was like unfortunate.
It's stupid. Yeah.
But like, come on, you mean to tell me all these, everybody's on here isn't using like backing tracks or whatever? Which is like, I get it. It's fine. Like,
who cares?
But I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, look, she ended up with Pete Wentz. Are they still together or is that done?
I don't know. Let me do Google.
Wicca what? Wikipedia.
That's right. So she and Pete got divorced in 2011. She is now married to Evan Ross.
That name sounds familiar.
He's in ATL.
Wait, Diana Ross's son?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they got married in 2014 and are still married to this day.
To this day! Incubus Drive is number 25.
Yeah.
It was the Iris thing where, like, okay, a band that's not in a certain style does a song that's in a certain style and it's very popular, and they spend pretty much their entire career chasing that dragon.
And that sucks because previous Incubus is so much better.
It's so good. And even this album was really good, but this single just kind of like, because if anybody who heard the song on like alternative radio went and listened to the rest of the album, I don't think it'd be super off-putting, but it's definitely not this.
Yeah.
Because Morning View was this.
And it was fine.
I have nothing to say about Pink other than she's wonderful and I will hear no slander.
Nope. I love this album. Love her. Love this iteration of her. We had talked at one point about having Eileen on the show and talking about Pink, and I still think that's a thing that we should do.
No, that's definitely still happening, and I love how we're saying all this just so y'all get excited and we also remember things.
Yeah. The list is really big of episodes. Like, we're not running out of stuff anytime soon, so sometimes we have to refresh our brains.
Right? It's like, we're just going to keep adding to the list, and we're not falling off because we are not...
Ha! So we win?
Oh, absolutely. We've been winning shit. No, stop.
The next song and band. I fucking hate Train, y'all. I'm sorry. Like, I get okay. it.
No,
okay,
hold
so-
up. Hold up. No, talk your shit. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Drops of Jupiter is a song. I get that shit. The only part of that song that's good is the violins, which has nothing to do with stupid homeboy McDoucheyson. I fucking hate Train. I'm sorry if you dig on this shit. He just is so, he just comes off as so pompous and I hate him so much. He also has big, probably sells an NFT.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I know he was big on that like celebrity winery shit for a while.
Hey, remember the dude from Tool had the winery and there's like a whole documentary about it?
That sounds rad, actually.
It's actually really cool. I'm sorry. I know I said that to be like, oh, take that.
Take that.
But at the same time, he looks like a dude who enjoys a fine wine. It's like, yeah. Well, I don't know where the pieces fit, but I know where the grapes fit.
That's right.
That was terrible. That's a that is a stepdad joke. Please, I'm becoming that guy now.
Help me, I'm old.
Oh shit. No, but you're right. But at the same time, there are some Train songs I do like. I did like Meet Virginia, and I'm going to defend to the death, tooth and nail. Not even Murph can stop me. I will defend the song they did for Spider-Man 2. Ordinary, I love that shit. Now, it's also Spider-Man, because Spider-Man took a lot of artists whom maybe I didn't really fuck with at the time. Because, like, Chad Kroeger and Julie Scott, even though I... Actually, you know what? I fucked with Saliva. Who am I kidding? But, like, come on. Like, that...
Click, click, boom.
Come on, come with the new style. You know, it's Buck Wild.
That's right. Oh, God.
And you're not going to hear any crying-ass bitching from him like everybody else did. His parents weren't perfect, Ashley. Listen to the man. He's
literally, anytime a white man says Buck Wild, I just want to die.
Do you think Josie Scott has NFT energy? We should probably stop saying that because we're going to get mad crypto people after us.
I was going to say, he's got more like cryptocurrency. He's a Bitcoin bro for sure.
Saliva coin?
Yeah.
That's right. No, click, click, coin. There you go.
Click, click, coin. Oh my God.
What is wrong with us?
Nothing. We're great. Perfect in every way. No notes. The next song is not just a song. It was a movement. I love Meredith Brooks. I'm so sad that she didn't really see much mainstream success after this song because bitch fucking rules.
What was the other track she had that was also kind of rad?
She had...
Because there was another single, and I was trying to remember it, and I couldn't think of enough to Google it.
I want to say it was, like, Wishing I Was There.
Yes, that's it. No, wait, that was Natalie Imbruglia.
Okay, different. I'm mixing up my ladies here. This is not helpful. Wikipedia is not helpful.
I like the song.
Oh, okay. This says the next single was called I Need.
Yeah, I don't think that was it. I may have gotten her confused with somebody else.
I mean, I literally just did, so. But it looks like she did put out a few more albums, but it looks like the last one came out in 2007, so. It's still a song that, like, is referenced in pop culture today.
Yes!
And for it to be over 20 years old, almost 25 years old.
My God.
Yeah, we're old, it's fine.
No, it definitely is 25 because we just did Turbo. Wait a minute. I just thought about this for a second. While Turbo was happening, Meredith Brooks is ripping up the charts.
Both things happened at the same time.
That's wild. Meanwhile, like Sugar Ray's Flies, like that's a huge summer hit. Batman and Robin was the same goddamn summer. What are we doing? So while while Tommy is getting beat up by his ex,
Kimberly could have been singing this.
Okay, someone out there who loves us enough and has a lot of free time, would love a supercut of Kimberly beating the ever-loving shit out of the Power Rangers set to this song.
Hell yeah.
I may just do it myself, honestly, because I need that in my life. There you go. Meredith Brooks energy. That's I'm coining that one right now.
Hell yeah. Next is Howie Day.
The fuck is Howie Day?
You know this song.
Do I?
Actually, yes.
Because I intended to say I did not.
This is one of those songs that, like, if you heard it, you know it. They list it as, like, the precursor to the Had a Bad Day guy and James Blunt in The Fray.
Wait, so Howie Day's not in The Fray? That's not the name of the dude?
No.
Oh, so he does not know how to save life. Okay, that's right.
No, he does not.
I'm sorry. This has, like, mad Loki. I've never met this man in my life energy.
You've definitely heard this song. I like this song. It's a guy feeling his feelings in a melancholy, slow kind of way. You know, acoustic guitar sorted shit. So, I like it. Fine with it. Next is Eagle Eye Cherry, Safe Tonight.
Most of the songs we covered are lower than this, which is not okay.
Yeah, I like this song a lot. It's one of those where I think I like it more now than I did hearing it too many times back in the 90s.
It's a damn good song.
Yeah. Third Eye Blind. Third Eye Blind. Third Eye Blind.
I'm almost tempted to not say anything only because this could be another podcast because this song came up for you and I recently.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that at all, or do you think we should save that for when we talk about that thing?
We'll save it for when we talk about that thing.
Okay, because it's so good. It's so good.
I will say this, though. Third Eye Blind is so good. They're one of those bands where, like, if you just know the singles, like, you don't know them at all.
Not at all. You really don't. I mean, don't get me wrong. Those singles are bangers. But this is up there with Fastball with, honestly, some of the best, like, late 90s or 2000s rock.
Yeah. For a really long time, I would say that Motorcycle Drive-By was my favorite song in existence.
Oh, see, I fucked with Graduate heavily.
Yeah. So, yeah, it turns out we're both sad.
It only took us 30-something episodes to figure it out.
Can confirm sadness. The next one makes me sad.
And we actually had talked about Stacy's Mom on a previous episode.
Yeah, I think it's the one that I'm editing right now, actually.
And it also came up on one that we had talked about previously because I was listening to us discuss this on one that I had re-listened to because, yes, I do re-listen to our old episodes. Don't judge me.
No judgment.
Because, like, apparently you can make stuff, but you're not allowed to, like, experience it. But I was like, it's the Lars, damn it. I think we're amusing. This song makes me sad for a couple of reasons. One, again, New Jersey royalty.
Yeah.
The Fountains of Wayne as, like, an actual, like, institution is huge in, like, Northeast.
Yeah.
That was a place we went to, like, every Christmas because they always had these killer displays. Like, it was a big deal. And discovering that there was a band, great power pop and alternative rock. One of the best to ever do it, honestly, and not even just locally. But I'm still, and at the risk of being super gatekeepy, and I'm sorry for that, I feel like they deserve better than this song.
1,000%.
Like, I hate that.
This is what everyone knows them for?
It's not so much that, but I just wish that it had opened more doors for them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they never lost fans or anything like that, but I feel like as, like, a mass audience, I guess I should say, this should have been a gateway into discovering so much more about them. I can't believe we even lost Adam Schlesinger. Like, that shit fucked me up really bad.
Yeah.
Not even just for Fountains of Wayne, but the songwriting credits are prolific as hell.
Yeah. And to lose... Okay, this sounds... Like, it's fucked up when any... It's fucked up... No, it's fucked up when anybody dies. That's always sad. But, like, to lose somebody that talented, it hits a little harder. So...
Jason Mraz is pretty cool, as far as I know, unless he did something else. Is he also writing with Kevin Spacey?
No, from what I know, Jason Mraz has a restaurant in LA where it's one of those where like you can go in and like eat for labor, essentially. Like you go in, you can like work there for a little bit and get food.
Hmm.
He's like a dirty freegan, basically.
Nice.
Yeah. If I didn't know that about him, I would say that he has big NFT energy, but I know he's like, he's a big environmentalist guy, so.
Okay, correction.
The Remedy, though, the song was a moment. I can't really speak to anything else that he did. I know there was this song and that, I want to say Banana Pancakes, but it's not. That's not him, that's Jack Johnson. What was the other song with the ukulele? His like the biggest fucking that like love song that he did.
Yes. Shit. I know that one.
I think it was even on that same album. I'm Yours. There you go.
I don't remember that being a title, but I believe you.
Thanks, Google. I know like those two songs, but to be perfectly honest, I haven't really delved into anything else that he did.
Neither did I.
Looks like he's still rocking the hat though.
So is he kinda like our generation's Christopher Cross?
Sailing. I guess.
I don't know. I'm throwing it out there.
I don't know what's going on underneath that hat. That's all I'm saying.
So you know how like we were just saying last episode how there was gonna be that battle between Spirit Room and Hotel Paper?
Uh-huh.
I wanna have a battle of the Sheryl Crow eras. Because I know you fuck heavily with like beachy Sheryl Crow.
I fuck heavily with jazzy Sheryl Crow.
Oh, okay. Who did I have that discussion with? I could have sworn there was somebody I know who was huge on like Soak Up the Sun Sheryl Crow. Cause me, like, I like bluesy Sheryl Crow, but I also like slightly angrier alt rock Sheryl Crow.
Yes. I get that.
That era at first was like, whoa, but then I'm like, I'm here for it. Like, if it makes you happy, Sheryl Crow?
Yes.
I'm like, God damn, who did this? Like, and we talked about this before. Who are these songs about where it's like, you fucked up bad enough where you pissed off Sheryl Crow?
Right.
Where she was just like, hey, I'm here with my blues guitar. I'm going to be at this, like, you know, cool little bar or this coffee shop. I'm going to tell you fun stories about my life and whatever. And the little anecdotes in between. And we're just going to have some fun. Next time you're like, oh, that was a really great show. Oh, she's playing next week. She comes back in and it's just like heavy mascara. She's wanted. She's just like, you pieces of shit.
Right. Screaming. Screaming if it makes you happy.
If one of you out there is the one that, like, I will find you. Actually, you know what? I'm not even going to put hands. I'm going to write these songs and you're going to be embarrassed.
It's Dave Cool. It's Dave Coulier again.
Oh no, he's at it again. No, Dave Coulier would definitely fucking be in some fucking NFT shit.
Oh, that's definitely a thing, right? That's got to be a thing.
And he probably has his ape dressed up like Ranger Joe.
Oh God, that sucks. That sucks. That sucks. That's definitely a thing. No, like beachy Sheryl Crow's fine. It's so inoffensive and kind of blah that I don't really have much to say about it other than, like, I prefer earlier Sheryl Crow.
Same.
She soaks up the sun. That's fine. Next is Maroon 5.
I have such a love-hate relationship with Maroon 5 because every time I go to talk shit about, like, Adam Levine, one of the songs comes on and I'm like, fuck, I actually like Maroon 5 a lot.
So I made the joke earlier about Gavin DeGraw and NFTs and... If I didn't know that they had NFTs, Adam Levine would be my NFT man. But I can confirm, because you and I found them online together, that Maroon 5 does, in fact, dabble in NFTs. So, that sucks. This Love is a great song, though.
It is. Like I said, they write a good song. And I can't take that away from them. Have you heard, and I know you probably haven't because I know that's not your bag, the mashup of Slipknot's Before I Forget and Maroon 5's Harder to Breathe?
No. How does it work?
It is amazing because it's basically Slipknot vocals with like harder to breathe instrumentation, because Corey Taylor, like, that's definitely one of the more melodic Slipknot songs. Like, that was one of like the big singles that was like very big on like rock radio. Mm-hmm. Corey Taylor has a great singing voice.
Yeah.
But there is an alternate universe where Slipknot went more into like groove metal. Mm-hmm. Because any of those mashups, like, I'm like, hey, I almost want that to be an official thing. Like, I want Corey Taylor to, like, hang out with Maroon 5. And, like, he and Adam, like, they write an album together. And it's like, you could turn up in the pit or you could be at your aunt's brunch.
And I think that's been my main complaint about Maroon 5 is that, like, this first album was really good. And it feels like they've just been, like, very lazily sort of regurgitating mid-pop shit ever since.
Though, like I said, some of that later pop stuff, in the right mood, I'm totally here for it.
Also, Adam Levine seems like a top-tier douchebag.
Yeah, but you know what, though? At the same time, there's people who at least have not had the success they've had who still puff out their chest in an Adam Levine way, and it doesn't work. But it's like, at least, it's like, look, you have plenty to brag about, though. So, I'll take it.
Fair enough.
I'm trying so hard to not, like, bash them, knowing full well that I listen to them. Because someone could be like, weren't you just jamming to them before? So, to keep that from happening to me, I am treading very lightly.
Fair enough.
I don't know if I fuck with Maroon 5. Because, trust me, there have been many times you and I have been committing virtual crimes on GTA. And moves like Jagger come on. And I have turned up my TV. It's mainly Billy's fault, honestly. Shout out to Billy.
We talked about The Calling earlier. They're great.
I still can't believe this song came out in 2001. I still feel like this is not true. This is like a second New Radical single that did not exist. This clearly happened much more recent, and by much more recent, I meant like 2004.
I actually really liked their follow-up single. It was called Adrian.
Hey.
Actually, spelled a little different. Oh. about a nice lady.
I could be a nice lady. I don't have a song about me.
I mean, if that's how you identify, that's fine with me.
I don't have any songs named after me. I got like Rocky references.
That's true. That kind of sucks. But The Calling, man, this song was everywhere.
It still is. It's wherever you will go.
And it's totally fine. It's pretty good. It's one of those where, like, if you remove the nostalgia goggles, it's probably not the greatest song in the world. It's not doing anything that new or that exciting. It's weird. Like, the music video is weird, mostly in that you're hearing this kind of like big boy voice come out of this kid who looks like he's about 17 years old.
Yeah, because I didn't know what he looked like until much later. I'm like, there's no way. This is lip syncing, because he looks like a high... He sounds like he should be like a high plains drifter or something.
Yeah. The next song is Closing Time. This song should be like number 4 on this list.
Okay, hot take? No, not hot. It's like lukewarm, you know. Just blow on it a little bit and it'll cool down. Not my favorite semisonic song. I feel like this is inferior to Singing to Me in My Sleep.
I don't know that I've ever heard that song. I gotta be honest, they're a band that I didn't really dabble in outside of this song.
I liked semisonic, but if I had a choice between getting like $1 billion, but I would have to listen to Closing Time every day, I would just stay broke.
Aw.
It's a nice song. It's fine. It's, you know, it's harmless. It's not hurting anybody's feelings. And it's a very simple, catchy pop song or rock song, whatever, that clearly had legs and was like one of the like biggest singles, if not the biggest single.
Yeah.
But it does nothing for me. Like, it was one of those songs that if I hear it someplace or do it at like karaoke or something and be like, hey, everybody be like, yeah, Closing Time. Yeah. It'd be a fun time. But like, I'm not sitting at home playing KOTOR, listening to Closing Time. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Hey, you want to talk about my Thursday nights? That's fine.
I don't know. We can move on.
I don't really like this next song that much. Tal Bachman, She's So High.
Oh, shut the front and back and side doors and also the door to the basement.
Like, this song, to me, the song is very fine.
It's so bad, but it's so good.
Yeah.
If you really break it down, it's not a good song, but
no.
But this is that song next to, like, okay, so in our romantic comedy movie, like, remember how, like, we had that whole thing about Spin Doctors where it sounds like a song that would play in a trailer for, like, a romantic comedy, like, in the 90s?
Yeah.
That same thing, but Semi Eternal Life, like, from Touchstone Pictures, like, you know. She's So High would definitely play during, like, the ending credits once they get together. It just has that vibe, and I don't know, it's so dumb, but it's also really good. I also just went on record saying that I like the song more than Closing Time, so I'm sorry. For the five people who are still listening to us after the Power Rangers, I lost you. It's my fault. Murph is going to be here soon anyway, so it's okay. Just bear with me to this list.
I feel like this song has Hey Leonardo energy.
Yes. 1,000 times yes.
The song has Hey Leonardo energy, but I prefer Hey Leonardo. So that's fine. But they're like cousins. So. Sixpence None the Richer is next.
I don't know. It's so weird. Because there was a time where you could not escape them.
Nope. And they went on to do nothing else.
Because it was like, okay, there was Kiss Me. There was their cover of There She Goes.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't there another song that was pretty big by them?
If there was, I don't know it.
Oh, I know what it was. It was their, okay, I'm sorry, because when you said Sixpence None the Richer, I got angry. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't figure out why I was angry, because it wasn't their cover There She Goes, which I honestly feel like
it's good.
Is superior to the original version.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I think it's good. I think her voice is a little better.
Well, I was going to give them high praise for that, but then I realized why I was upset, because I was recalling their cover of Don't Dream It's Over.
Oh.
Because that song was huge. That was one of my staples of my childhood growing up. That song went hard in our household. And hearing this lightly toasted, just banal oatmeal with no honey or anything in it, just it's just bland. It's like roasting a turkey and you've only put salt on it.
Yeah.
It's like drinking like an extra large coffee ready to start your day only to find out that someone accidentally put, it's all decaf.
It's decaf.
Like, it's just, it's an inconvenience. That song has legit Weezer Africa vibes.
Oh my God.
It does nothing. And I'm saying that on the record. It's like, you Gilmore Girls the hell out of that song. Like, no, thank you.
Add that to the glossary. Next is Matchbox 20.
That's a whole other podcast. My dude, Rob Thomas.
For a very long time, every time we would take a road trip somewhere, because, like, we basically lived, like, 4 hours from each set of grandparents. Every time we would road trip, the only music that, like, my mom and I and my brother could agree on was this Matchbox 20 CD with 3AM on it and the Beatles. So I've listened to more Matchbox 20 than I probably should have as a, you know, 8-year-old at the time. But I love this song.
That album is, Yourself for Someone Like You is stacked.
Yeah, it's got like, I'm not exaggerating when I say it's got like 6 singles on it. They're all good.
The Real World, Back to Good, 3AM, like, Push. Like, come on, y'all.
It's weird that they didn't continue to do more stuff.
They had a pretty good run.
And when they came out, they seemed like they were going to be one of those bands to, like, do a sort of similar to, like, U2, where they would just, like, make music in perpetuity. And that didn't happen. And his solo career didn't really pan out, I think, the way that he wanted it to. And then they just kind of stopped being a thing.
Didn't they reunite or something like that?
Probably. That checks out. It's the, you know, 20-year nostalgia.
But I think we can agree, a lot of these songs, a lot of these bands should have been more of a thing, but I feel like this era, and it's not the music's fault, which is something I feel like we're going to get into in a later episode. It wasn't the music's fault that we treated everything so disposable.
Yeah.
Treated everything as disposable, rather. Because a lot of these artists were, there wasn't anything inherently wrong with them. But so much stuff got discarded for no reason other than just the fact that we could, because it's like, all right, cool, what's next?
Well, and I think, I hate to blame it all on 9/11, but I think a lot of these bands kind of suffered from that intense sort of culture shift that happened after that, where everything got, you know, grimdark and all feelingsy. So, I don't know. There's more John Mayer next. I don't want to talk about John Mayer anymore. That dude sucks. I want to talk about Vanessa Carlton, who's after that. She's at number 8. I understand that this song has been, like, memeified to death and, like, you know, White Chicks is a whole thing. I don't care what anybody says. The song still slaps in the year of our Lord 2022. The video's cool. She's a cute little girl. Love it. No notes. The next band. When we have our adult alternative episode, we'll definitely talk more about these guys because I love them with my whole heart. Next, is, at number 7, is Vertical Horizon, Everything You Want. The song is so good.
This song, this album, this went brazy. Like, this went hard.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't tell you what other song other than this and, like, I'm a God, but in that video, because it's like, you look at this dude and you think he'd be, like, in a new metal band.
Yeah.
Correction, it was You're a God. Somebody was a God in that song. Whatever.
Yeah. And number 6 is Third Eye Blind, Never Let You Go. That song, fine.
All You Wanted, quintessential Michelle Branch.
Yes.
Just, yeah, again, an episode.
Yeah, love her. Look forward to talking more about that at a later date.
I'm shocked that Slide, because you called it, Slide being on this list higher than Iris feels wrong, but
it does. But at the same time, like, Slide was also everywhere.
Yeah, but Iris win, bro. Like,
yeah, right.
But you're right. Slide was also everywhere. That's this album. And now I understand why Google Dolls phoned in it after this. Because, like, where do you go? What's your next big push? Because they emptied the whole canister. Like, there's nothing left in the tank. They drove that thing till the wheels literally fell off.
Yeah, now they're driving it to state fairs every summer.
Oh. No.
You know I'm right. And they're playing all this crap, and then everybody leaves when they're like, no, we're going to play a new one. And it's like, yeah, no one cares.
No, I never said you're wrong. I never disagreed. I'm just saying that it just hurts to hear out loud.
I know.
And that's because meanwhile, I'm there, visibly drunk, screaming, yeah. Play name. Play naked. Remember when the other guy in your band used to sing songs too?
Yeah.
No? Is he still here? Is he gone? Oh, never mind. Sorry, I didn't realize he had... Oh, he's eating ribs right now.
All right. He's at the table with me eating fried Oreos. Right?
It's good. Where's the rest of your band? They're all hanging out. Like, she's like, I don't need them. I got an acoustic guitar. I'll play fucking... What is the name of this song? What'd I do? Why is Johnny Resnick so, like, bitter and angry in this version? I should have been in that movie with Meg Ryan.
I mean, to be fair, Nicolas Cage is pretty wooden in that movie, so he might have done a better job.
Well, look, spoiler alert, he was never that wooden ever again. Because he heard all of your complaints being like, he's showing no emotion. Now he's showing all the emotion, so yeah. Good on y'all.
Good job. You fixed it? Question mark?
Oh, he totally did. Honestly, I want that energy, the whatever. I'm just going to go for it. Just the reason why I love him and Keanu Reeves. Like, you know what? They just go for it. It's like, fuck it. This is acting. Why am I just going to be like, hi, let me read these lines? No, do the absolute most. Leave your fucking mark, y'all.
But that's just him in life. Like, do you remember during lockdown, there were pictures of him, like, he was masked up doing something, and he had like a pink jean jacket on.
Yes, with the sequin Superman logo with the patches.
Yeah.
That was the vibe. I like that was such a mood of just the shit. Like, and he just wore it with such confidence.
Right.
And everybody was cracking on him, but I'm like, no, get on that level, y'all. Like, just give no fucks. I mean, granted, we also don't have the money to get on that level, but
yeah, that's true.
But at the same time, like, it's that energy of just like, look, at this point, they're gonna say what they say, they're gonna do what I do, I'm gonna do what I do, I'm not changing, you know?
I appreciate it. It's refreshing.
It is. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's like a ginger ale where it's like, you know, I didn't really necessarily know I wanted this, but it's pretty crisp. I actually asked for a cherry Coke, but the waiter fucked up my order.
Yeah, now I have a Fresca and I'm not mad about it.
Oh, speaking of late 90s, at the time when I'm listening to most of these songs, my blood is mostly Fresca.
That's because it's delicious.
Right? It's fucking life-changing. This show is not brought to you by Fresca, by the way. They are not a sponsor.
But they could be.
Hit us up. Drop that truck. Just dump a bunch of Fresca in our driveways.
That's right.
Or front doors. Don't worry about the safety issues. Don't worry about how we're going to clean it all up.
My neighbors will figure it out.
Like, hey, you get some free Fresca. So that's like, right. We can make this all go away in the interest of refreshment. Oh, yeah.
We got 3 songs left. We could do this.
Story of a Girl is cool, but does not deserve to be as hot. Like, we passed a fastball. Vanessa Carlton, Michelle Branch, Liz Phair, Jewel. Like, we passed up so many. And this song was fine. And it was really fun. I liked it a lot. But does it deserve to be number 3?
This song was everywhere, though.
Oh, it was. But so was Vertical Horizon. So was, yeah, you know.
You're right.
And also, they took off Sarah McLachlan. I'm still mad about that.
Did I tell you I saw her in concert in high school?
What? And you didn't invite me?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Don't worry about how you didn't know me then. That's not the point. You're supposed to ask me, actually. I am hurt.
No, it was actually a weirdly sweet situation where, like, I didn't really want to go at all, but I went with a girl that I was in choir with because she was like, I want to go to my first concert, but I'm scared to go to a punk show because they're going to beat me up or whatever. And I'm like, I will go with you to a show, pick a show. And that's what she picked.
Uh-huh.
So.
I just imagine the two of you like moshing during like Sweet Surrender.
It was actually pretty good, especially since like I dabbled in Sarah McLachlan, but I didn't know a ton of her stuff. So there was a lot of it where I'm like, oh my God, this is very soothing to the point where I would like to take a nap. But yeah. Avril Lavigne's next. Avril Lavigne feels weird on this list. I'm not going to lie to you.
It does, but it doesn't. This is a thing, and maybe I'm misremembering, because this is also at a time when this is like stuff's coming out that I'm still not comfortable enough to admit that I even liked.
Mm-hmm.
I think Skater Boy was like, that's the song we kind of mostly talk about, but not realizing a good chunk of the album was not that.
Yeah.
It was a lot more, dare I say, adult alternative. I think the kind of pop punkish Avril came later.
Well, I think that's what they marketed her so heavily as, this like, she's cool. She's got ties and wife beaters and look at her eyeliner. It's all over the place. She's so metal and shit and cool. And then like half of her songs were like, I'm singing a ballad, or like, I'm singing a dorky song that sounds like a 13-year-old wrote it. Like, not in a hateful way, just like kind of cheesy.
It was a weird dichotomy, and I didn't know always how to make heads or tails of Avril, and maybe that was sort of the point, that it didn't matter. Right. I mean, I'm saying that now as an adult, but I mean, at the time I was very confused as to, because I'm still just trying to put it in like this very simple, like, this is me personally, I'm just saying, I didn't know really how to put it. So it's like some songs I like, some songs I didn't like. And that's even with the new album, where it's like, there's some stuff I rock with, some of it I don't, but again, that's art, so.
Yeah. Lifehouse is number 1.
I disagree, but also agree.
Yeah, I get why it's, I get it. I do. I don't, it seems anticlimactic.
It does. And maybe that's just you and I personally, but this song has freaking legs. It's wild. Like, it has, since the song came out, it has not left rotation of most, like, radio stations.
That's true.
I mean, this is almost why, like, I wish that people who wrote these songs before and then definitely got, like, better deals, because if I was able to finesse the shit out of writing something like this, and I knew that this song would have longevity, if I could say to myself, because of Hangin' By a Moment, I never worked another day in my life, and I'm eating, like, shrimp that are encased in gold, breaking my teeth, I'm that, like, screw you, rich.
Yeah, MC Hammer gold toilets kind of deal.
My PS5 is made out of vibranium.
I don't know if it's going to work to specs that way.
Well, like, Shuri was like, look, I could make this, but the vibranium's not really going to, like, I mean, we're brilliant. Like, we are genius, like, beyond genius. But I don't think this is going to work. And I'm like, I don't care. Just money is no object. We're like,
right, okay. Just do it. This is what I asked. Just do it. It's fine. And of course, it was one of those songs that he wrote in a few minutes. It was one of those, like, I wrote it in 15 minutes, whatever.
Which is remarkable. Isn't that kind of indicative of a lot of things? And I don't know if you've had this in anything you've ever created. And it doesn't even have to be music, because I'm not a songwriter.
Right.
But those things that you do almost like a throwaway, like, I wasn't expecting much from this, just end up going further than the things that you sit down and toil over.
I wonder if it's just because it, like, you've got less time to sort of sit there and nitpick it.
And a lot of it could also be good timing. And that's a lot of things. Like, there's right place, right time. It's a really good song. Now, of course, you and I talk about this as far as how we rank it are always different, but it's a good one, though.
Yeah.
But they also put Slide above Iris, which, again, it sounds right in my head, but it doesn't feel right. Oh, we should ask Murph. What would Murph pick as number one?
Murph doesn't know. He was born today. Oh, wait. It's after midnight. Murph was born yesterday. Oh. Okay, I'm scrolling through here and I'm trying to decide, like, okay, I don't love that Lifehouse is number one. What would I put as number one? I want to put Fastball, but I know that's not the right answer.
I would maybe put, and it's one of the songs that was probably going to be controversial, but I would put Santana's Smooth on there. I would argue that may be a number one.
That song was everywhere.
That album especially.
Mm-hmm.
Was huge. And shout out to, at least after already, what, 30 years at that point?
Yeah. Like, me... well, crazy. And, like, it introduced Santana's music to a literal whole new generation of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I knew some of his older stuff because, like, I have grandparents. I have to be shitty, oh. But, like, I have grandparents. So, like...
Which is weird that you say you have grandparents. I had parents. Like, my parents fucked with, like, you know, Oye Como Va, like,
right.
Black Magic Woman, like, that very heavy in our household. So by the time Smooth happens, it's like, it almost was like, oh, cool. Like, this was just a fun project. Like, he kind of just did to just collaborate with some people
who he thought were neat. Yeah.
Yeah. And yet, it was like, you would have thought that this dude, because it's like, oh, Rob Thomas, who's this dude on the guitar? I'm like, who's the dude on the guitar?
And that was the thing that was so cool, was like, for my grandfather, it was my grandfather's way of finding these new artists, because he was like, who the fuck is Chad Kroeger or whatever? Not that that's the best example, but, you know, who the fuck is Rob Thomas or whatever? And meanwhile, it's me being like, you don't know who Rob Thomas is? Like, that's Matchbox 20. Who the fuck is this guitar playing dude behind him? And then we both yell at each other for not knowing each other's shit.
I almost feel like maybe that's secretly why some of the songs are taken off, because if they were on this list, they would have dominated.
Yeah.
They were, dare I say, nerfed.
Murph.
And that's all I'm saying for the rest of the show. That's it. I'm, well, other than what I'm saying right now.
So that's it. We did the list. We did it. We're here at the end. So you can find us online at multiple places. The handle is usually TLAT Podcast. Don't get swallowed by a Murph. Or do. That if that's what you're into. All right.
We don't Murph shame here.
Nope. No Murph shaming.
Murph is for everyone.
That's right. Murph is love. Murph is life.
Praise Murph.
All praise Murph.
Good night, y'all.
Good night. This is not helpful. Wikipedia is not helpful.